Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, 'cause Daryl's dead. Welcome back, everybody. Not yet. Another week of liar. However, Ben. I'm sorry. Joining me as always, Benjamin Orr. Sorry.
Oh, you know, I'm here.
Right. I jumped right into that. I'm sorry. We had teased last week that they were going to make the season finale 90 minutes long, and I had joked that that would be bad for the cast. Well, Norman Reedus is doing the talk show circuit. And he had mentioned that we should get our Kleenexes ready and that we will probably be shouting at our televisions. Ben, in a few weeks' time, am I going to actually be right?
You know, I don't know. I feel like anybody's up for grabs. I mean, obviously not like Rick and Michonne and Carl, but Daryl, Carol, anybody I think is free game at this point.
So then the question is, if they do, just if the day comes where they kill Daryl, then who do I kill in the intro? Yeah, that'll be tough. That's something to think about in the off season, I guess.
Yeah, we'll have to think about that then.
I'll have like 8 months to think about it. But anyways,
it's not that long.
It's a lot. It feels like forever. It feels like an infinite amount of time. But this week's episode, Ben, I think that I can safely say that this was one of not just my favorites of the season. This was one of my all-time favorite episodes. I watched it on Monday night, and then I watched it again yesterday. And I enjoyed it even more the second time.
Yeah, episode's called Remember. It deals with the group going now into Alexandria, because if you remember from the last one, they were outside of the gates of it, and Rick wasn't sure if he wanted to take his group in. And so they go in this time, same procedure as Terminus, you know, turn over your weapons. But the catch here is they can actually use them when they want to go outside the walls. So I thought it was interesting as well, because we get to see them actually interact with people that aren't trying to kill them for once.
Yeah, it was a great episode. Just sort of the overall feel of it. I feel like if we took all of the episodes that Greg Nicotero has directed and we just made a super cut of just his episodes, I feel like it would be the best episodes of the show overall. Because I just feel like he just gets it. Like, he seems to understand the world and how to make things read. I mean, there was so much about this episode. When we get to our Chewing Dead game about hate, love, like, or whatever order we go in, the thing that I initially hated, I actually ended up loving by the end, so I'm sort of cheating a little bit, but we'll get to that here shortly. Some interesting things is we did meet some new characters. We met Jessie, a very pretty blonde lady who cuts Rick's hair after he shaves. Oh, first of all, a moment of silence for Rick's beard.
Okay.
All right, that's good. You know, he shaved his beard off. It was weird. I think it was really weird for me for a while. Did you have a similar visceral reaction? Like, this is, I don't like this. I miss your beard.
Yeah, because it was, since season one, we haven't seen a clean shaven Rick. Yeah. And it was weird to see that. I mean, that's the first time we saw him was in episode one. And that's really the first time that he had that. And then ever since then, he's been growing that beard.
So
it just kind of, you know, grew on him.
Ouch, that one. Yeah, it did. It did kind of grow on him. So him shaving was a cool scene, and then this woman shows up, and then we also get introduced to Deanna, who to me is one of the more fascinating characters we've come across in a really long time. Deanna is the leader of the Alexandria Safe Zone, and she meets with every one of our friends individually, and she records their conversations on a video camera. More on that later. I like Deanna because she is an amalgamation and she does not exist in the comic books. However, her name is a combination of Douglas and whatever Douglas's wife is from the comic books, and she has the same last name, which is Monroe. So she is some sort of conglomeration of those two, but she's a way better character than Douglas ever was. That guy was a wiener. And this lady seems to be kind of awesome. But her son is a fucking wiener, and he even knows about it. He professes as much. He takes Glenn and Tara and Noah on a run and even tells them, he's like, I know I'm a douchebag. Oh, well, I'm glad we had this talk then, douchebag.
Yeah, and Glenn kind of puts him in his place later on, which was amazing to watch.
I did like the I love a good fist fight. I feel like we've been missing fist fights. And Daryl, he really displayed some good tackling skills. You know, really, he got his shoulder into it. He drove him to the ground. Good tackling. Tara almost gets bit because Deanna's son, whose name is not important. Let's just call him Douchebag from now on.
It's Aiden. His name.
Come on, Ben, you ruined the fun. All right, so Aiden is, they lost four members of their run crew the month before, and then you find out that they have chained up one of the walkers that ate one of their friends, and they use it for a, quote, pregame ritual. And like total stupid people, they go out there to see the walker that they have chained up. It's gotten away, and they start whistling and calling for it, proving once again that these people are totally stupid.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I guess if you take elements of Michonne and elements of the governor with keeping walkers around, of course Michonne didn't defend off other walkers, the governor did because he couldn't let go of his dead daughter. But and sort of that same thing, because they said, oh, well, these are our friends. And Tara, Noah, and Glenn are just kind of looking at them like, what? Like, no, they're dead. You know, you got to get over that. And it comes to a point where, like Lou brought up, where Tara is about to get bitten, but then they rip the skin off of the one walker.
Yeah, that was a really cool special effect.
And then Glenn comes in and stabs it in the head, and Aiden just flips his shit about it.
I haven't seen someone freak out about a walker being killed since Lizzie. We all know how that went down. So, yeah, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. So that guy's a total wiener, and I mean, I can tell you right now that he's absolutely going to be dead pretty soon, because wieners don't survive in this world, because even strong people don't survive in this world. It's very unfortunate. But I mean, the episode was great. There were lots, I mean, we don't have all, you know, time to break it all down. You shouldn't be listening if you didn't watch the episode, as we cannot stress that enough. So you know what happened, you saw what happened. But I would like to play our fun game, Hate, Love, Like. Ben, what is something that you hated about this episode?
You know, I have to be honest, I don't think there was anything I hated about this episode.
Interesting.
I really don't. I think for once there was nothing I hated about this episode. I think I have two things that I liked, though.
Okay, that's fine. You can substitute. Here's what I will say, and I will segue into my love. When the episode started, I hated the convention of them showing Rick and Michonne and everybody their interview with Deanna through the camera. At first, I hated it. But then as the show went on and the way that they kind of spliced it in with what was actually going on, it evolved into something that I ended up loving very much. But I didn't love it until we got to Glenn, when Glenn said that he said, we need to make this place work. And Deanna says, why? And he says, because we were almost out there for too long. And that was the moment where I went, all right, I do actually like this convention now. And then it cut to something else. And like, they kept cutting in and out with the different interviews with everybody. And they actually played Rick's twice, which I thought was very powerful. So I hated that initially. But then as the episode progressed, the way that Nicotero used it, it made me grow to love it.
I really loved the ending when Rick's like, yeah, if these people, you know, puss out on us, we'll just take it over. And that, I think, still says to the fact that people are like, oh, well, no, he's totally the governor. I'm like, no, he's not, because Rick doesn't want power to overthrow people. He doesn't want power to make people suffer or conform to his will. He wants it so that he can lead his family, that he calls, you know, everybody in the group, to be safe. And they know that they are safe, at least that they think they might be for the time being, inside of Alexandria. So if he can take on that leader role where he's actually being able to protect his people, unlike when they, you know, before they found the prison and he kind of took over, but they didn't have any shelter, and then the prison became a whole mess. You know, this seems like it'll be a stable place for them. So I think that's kind of interesting, and I really love that Rick just was like, yeah, I'm not going to change just because we're here.
Right. Now, let's do a quick sidebar, and then remind me we have to come back to the likes, because there's something that I do want to talk to you about on that front. I found it interesting that Carol was pretending to be some sort of innocent, and it started right away.
That's actually one of my likes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, then it's a perfect segue into one of your likes. I thought the moment she started taking off her gun all daintily, because I watched it with my wife, Ashley, I was like, why is she doing that? And Ashley was like, what do you mean? And I was like, why is she taking the gun off like she's never handled one before? And Ashley was like, oh, well, she hurt her shoulder. That's why she was at the prison or at the hospital. I went, oh, yeah, okay. And I was like, all right, yeah, that makes sense. But then when they do the interview and she's talking about Ed, her ex-husband, and she's calling him a sweet, she had to say now she misses him. And I'm like, oh, my God, they have some sort of plan. And now here's what I'm thinking. I think that Rick, Daryl, and Carol are all trying to play different sides of the coin to try and expose these people and find out what they're hiding or what their weakness is. So hear me out. When Daryl tackles that guy after Glenn and Douchebag get in a fight, Rick comes to grab Daryl and pull him off. And he says to him, as he's pulling him off, he's like, we're not going to do this now. And I thought, oh, shit. Like, this is part of their plan. So the way that Daryl in his interview with Deanna was pacing back and forth and wouldn't sit down, him gutting the possum on the front step, him refusing to shower, I think that they have – the three of them together have concocted some sort of plan that they haven't told everyone else about. Because then they you have the scene at the end with the three of them on the porch. They're not filling in Michonne because Rick knows that she wants this place to work. They're not filling in Glenn and Maggie because they know they want this place to work. Rick still doesn't probably trust Abraham as much as he probably should. So I think that those three are the only – like they have a plan together. And I think that we're going to see it. And I think that it entails what you were talking – that part you were talking about before where I think that their plan is to take the place. And that they're going
to – I think if it comes to that, though, you know, and I think that's interesting that you think the three of them are working together, because I don't. I think Carol is the only one that picked up on that, because I think regardless of how the people acted towards them, I still think Rick and Daryl would be hostile. Carol knows something. Carol senses that something is up, which is why she acted all ditzy and so innocent, blah, 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 blah. I don't know that they're all conspiring together, because I feel like we either would have seen that or there would be more alluding to it.
I mean, I think we did see it, and I think it was alluded to, though. You said that you think that Rick and Daryl are staying hostile. I don't think Rick is being hostile at all. Rick immediately agreed to be the constable. Rick is the one who got shaved and showered right away. So I disagree with you there. I think that they very clearly in this episode laid out that something is going on, because again, that – and I wouldn't have thought that except for that moment where Rick pulls Daryl off of that other guy and says, we're not going to do this right now. That leads me to think that there is something that they are planning for, that they all have some sort of – they're through Daryl being super, super abrasive and refusing to conform, by Carol being super conformist, and by Rick – taking on a role of power immediately, I think that this was all planned. All of it.
I don't know. I think maybe – and I mean, I don't know. But I feel like they're giving us a red herring there with that, though.
Well, I think Carol is giving everybody a red herring, because I think shit starts to go awry, Carol's going to throw down and people are going to be really concerned.
But I don't know that Rick saying that to Daryl really was of any significance for a plan. I don't know personally. It could be, it couldn't be. But I feel like something he would just say to him, you know, in case something did go down. Not because they were planning for it, but in case something were to happen regardless. I mean, I don't know. I could very well be wrong on that. and they could be planning something, but the thing that I think is interesting is you have, like you said, you have all of them, but clearly there's a hierarchy of trust between Rick and Glenn, and then Rick and Michonne, yet they've all been fighting with each other for the longest time and surviving with each other, yet Rick only knows that a certain amount of people will be able to think like he does. I mean, I don't even think he's letting Carl in on this. And that's the second thing I liked, was Carl kind of like being lost. Because, you know, when he goes up to that room and those kids are there, he doesn't immediately jump in on what they're doing. He's kind of like, he doesn't know what to do because, you know, growing up during this, it wouldn't be easy, certainly. And I think for Carl, it's very significant because, you know, they say, oh, you want to play some video games, you want to play some pool and stuff like that. And he's just like, I don't know. And, you know, he asks Rick later on, he goes, do you think this place is, you know, worth it? Is it safe? Do you think it's going to last? And, you know, and Carl's number one concern was what Carol's number one concern was, is, you know, what if we become weak? And that's something that obviously Rick is thinking about. And you have that nice moment where Rick goes out of the walls and he tries to find that gun that he stashed in that blender and he doesn't find it. And when he sees Carl, he doesn't give him a look of what are you doing? He gives him a look of understanding, like, okay. And then they just kill those walkers. And that's what I think is interesting, because in any other situation, you know, Rick probably would have gotten mad at Carl, but now they've gotten to a point where he just trusts him and he just knows that he's out there for a reason. And it's because they're still trying to adapt to life in Alexandria.
And for the record, I don't trust that little girl. She's I don't know. She's up to something, and I don't like it.
Oh yeah, she is.
Like she just showed up without any parents. Like she just showed up by herself. I don't know. I don't trust her. I think she's up to no goodery.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
I think Carl's gonna end up having to kill that girl. You can just, I don't know, it just feels like that. It just feels like it's one of those things where, like, he maybe kind of likes her a little bit, but then she's gonna do something terrible or be bad, and then he's gonna have to take her out.
It's possible. I mean, I don't know where they're going with that right now. I don't know that it's even gonna be that huge of a deal. But I think what's interesting is we're gonna see now what happens between Rick and Jesse, mm-hmm. and Jesse's husband.
I mean,
we know who it is, but they haven't named him.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to stray from that part of the comic books. It sure seems like they're going to give us the Pete storyline, the Pete and Jesse story. So,
cause you know, when Rick's walking and the guy says, my wife cut your hair, and he's just smoking, looking at him. He doesn't say it in a friendly way. And Rick's just like, yeah, and just walks off. I mean, you already know there's bad blood between those two, and they haven't really even met.
Right, and I mean, but the thing is that even in the comic universe, Pete is just such a fucking asshole from day one to everybody. Like, nobody likes him. He's just a fucking – they need him because he's a surgeon, but he's just a total and complete asshole to everybody. So it's nice to see that that will be the same. What's sad is that a lot of my favorite characters from Alexandria in the comics are not even – they're not even represented. That makes me sad a little bit. I was kind of expecting to see a few more people that I recognized from the comics, but I guess they're going to be taking us on a very different route. You know, people online are jabbering about Negan, and I'm like, you all need to calm down. That's not what's coming.
No, because they haven't even casted for it.
Right, and it's gonna be whoever whatever this wolf shit is. Did you notice how many subtle wolf hints got dropped in this episode? P.S. Jesse has a wolf tattoo on her forearm that I caught when I watched it the second time when she's cutting his hair. She has a wolf tattoo, and then the comic book that Carl picks up that he brings to the other kid's house, on the back it says wolf battle. And I mean, you could say, oh, well, that's a coincidence, but I really don't think that it is anymore. When you go all the way back to the episode where Tyrese died and the W's carved into the foreheads, I think that what we're going to get is some some sort of group called the Wolves. In the comic books, they're called the Marauders. But I mean, they've kind of shot that whole storyline and how those people came to the gates of Alexandria, that none of that'll work. And so what I was maybe thinking, and this is a huge conspiracy theory, Ben, I'm giving you a crazy conspiracy theory. I think that is her name Enid? All right, good. I'm glad you know, because I couldn't tell. They said her name three times, and I still wasn't sure. I'm like, is it Eden or Enid? Anyways, I think that Enid is like a spy for this Wolves group. And now I know that that sounds a little crazy, but in the previews for next week's episode, Aaron is following Daryl while Daryl is out hunting. And I think that's because Aaron thinks that Daryl is the spy. That's how that comes to pass, when it's really the little girl who shows up with no parents, doesn't talk for 3 weeks, and now she's just sneaking out all the time and sneaking back in. And it seems like they let you come and go as you please, so why does she feel the need to sneak out?
It's not crazy.
I mean, I think something's going to trigger them coming to the front gates and wanting to get into Alexandria. Another interesting thing that I enjoyed was when Deanna told Rick that she had excommunicated three people. And that also made me wonder if maybe one of those people was Negan, and maybe that's what will bring him back into the fray for Alexandria as he comes back for retribution. But again, they gave us a lot of – the thing about the show now is that they don't give us these things and then just don't pay them off anymore. So all of these wolf things that they've been dropping, they have to mean something. And that's kind of what I feel like it's going to be, is that this group calls themselves the Wolves or something. But this next episode will be interesting because I think also in a preview that I saw, Sasha's going to practice her sniping or her sharpshooting. I think they're going to start putting her in that tower that's at the – like that's just outside the gates there. And she's going to be the town sniper.
She's going to be the American sniper.
Sasha, starring as Fat Bradley Cooper in American Zombie Sniper, starring a totally fake-ass baby. I think that they're walking us face first. I think they're right. I think the season finale is gonna be rough. It's gonna be a tough one to watch.
Somebody's dying, obviously.
Yeah, we're losing some people here at the end of this season. I think it'll be a conglomeration. It'll be a couple of new people that we've just met, and we'll also lose some of our people. I apologize for the yawn. I've been very tired this week for whatever reason. I've been getting plenty of sleep. Maybe it's because I'm stressed out that maybe Daryl will actually die. And you know, now that the day's come, I don't know that I want it, Ben.
I don't know what's going to come, but something.
Good. That was good. Great insight, Ben. Anything else from Ben's vague prediction website?
Well, they're going to run into some trouble.
Tell me more. Can't even say that sentence. Tell me more, Ben. What other vagaries can you throw out there?
Well, there's gonna be walkers.
Good. Would you say yeah, there will be conflict? Okay. Now, do you think there will be some resolution to that conflict?
Not till season six.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, would you say that we're gonna continue to see characters grow?
Yeah, I think that'll happen.
Okay.
I feel like I'm like Ron Renneke right now.
You are Ron Renneke right now. You know what you are? You're every athlete and every sporting coach known to mankind. You know, it was a great game out there, this great episode out there this week. You know, everybody gave 110%. We left it all in the episode, and we're just going to have to come back and see what we can do next week.
Yeah, but honestly, though, somebody big is dying. By somebody big, I mean between
– Yeah.
I don't mean Rick, like I said, but Daryl.
The last time Daryl, Glenn, the last time Daryl somebody, told somebody. Us to get our Kleenex was when Beth died. So,
Norman Reedus is not a liar. At least I hope not.
No, I don't think he is. I mean, yeah.
I mean, I hate the fact that somebody's gonna die, but I feel like it kind of needs it to propel things.
I mean, we have to keep thinning people out. There are just too many new characters. You have to keep thinning people out. And again, in this new world, people are always going to be dying. Like, it's just inevitable. Like, I feel like the body count has slowed quite a bit from, like, when the show first, like, latched onto me, it was when they killed Shane, they killed Dale, Shane, Herschel's son Jimmy. Like in that the back half of that second season, they lost like 8 people. And then they start the third season and we lost T-Dog, Lori, a bunch of people to the flu. Like it just seemed like we then that Axel guy, all those prisoners, like I feel like the body count was a lot higher before, which is fine, but like I think they're going to have to do some purging. It's necessary. Because you can't know great victory and joy without horrible loss. And so we're going to start losing people.
Yeah, there's got to be some sacrifice somewhere.
And it's going to be either episode 15 or episode 16 where we're going to lose a handful. I don't think it's going to be like one or two. I think we'll lose 5 or 6 people that we either now know or have been in contact with. I imagine Pete will be one of those casualties. Deanna may actually be one of those casualties. I would say maybe even 1 or 2 of our people will be part of that, and then a grab bag.
I'm gonna say 2.
You're gonna say 2 people? Mm-hmm. Any? I know we're doing a great job with vagueness today, but do you have an inkling as to who you think of our core group?
I gotta go with the Rhyming Twins, Daryl and Carol.
Ooh, I don't think they'd take both of them. I think they'd take one. I don't think they'd take both.
Well, okay, that's true. It's going to be one of those two.
I am going to agree with you. I think it will be one of those two. And to be honest with you, I am leaning towards Daryl.
That's what I was going to say. I'm leaning a little bit towards Daryl.
Carol's character has become too enjoyable to watch. Her character has just become so fun.
And she's becoming adaptive to reading people, and I think that's going to save her quite a while, quite a ways. But I could be wrong about that because this show has made me wrong before.
Yeah, but I know. But I'm going to agree with you. I think that the riots are going to begin on March, whatever day that is, because as we know, if Daryl dies, we riot. But I think it's coming. I think it's going to happen. I mean, even in the synopsis for the episode, it says that Daryl gets into trouble while out on a run. That is not good. They added 90 minutes, and that is right in the synopsis. Now, they could be doing that as a cock tease. They do that. But I'm going to agree with you. Now, who do you think the second one will be?
I'm going to say, like, Tara.
Yeah, that's probably true. She already dodged death once.
Because it's not going to be Abraham's group.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be Michonne.
Could be Noah, too.
It could be Noah, yeah. I'm going to say one of them is either going to be Daryl or Carol, another one's either going to be Noah or Tara.
Might be both Noah and Tara. Could be Noah, Tara, and Daryl. Could be a whole gaggle.
And then I think Deanna, Pete, Aiden.
I think they're going to save Aiden. Here, I'll tell you off air why they're going to save Aiden. Because Aiden gets one of the coolest moments in the comic books with Negan. So I'll tell you off air. I don't want to spoil it for people because I'm jumping way ahead in time. But they should keep it because they should let us build up our hatred for that douchebag.
For Aiden?
Yeah. For Aiden. Well, Negan, yeah, that'll be easy. But anyways, we'll talk about that off air. But a great episode. I think that personally it was my favorite so far of this season. Nicotero is definitely my favorite director. Whenever he directs an episode, I get a little nerd boner. And he did not disappoint me with this week's offering.
No, I mean, I'm always very excited to see what Nicotero does, and he, like I said before, each week he's doing the season finale, so that's going to be 90 minutes of, oh God, what's happening now?
Yep. Well, you can find us at Twitter, at The News Chew. You can also find us on Facebook at The News Chew with Ben and Lou. Be sure to watch The Walking Dead on AMC on Sunday nights at, I don't know, whatever fucking time it's on in your time zone.
Talk about vague.
Well, I mean, I don't know what time it's on in Mountain Time. I don't know how they do their shit over there. TV might be on at like 4 a.m. there. I don't know. The Mountain Time is a very mysterious place, Ben.
That's preposterous.
You're preposterous. This whole damn podcast is preposterous. Ben, closing words? Yes.
Be sure to tune in next week when we talk about the episode called Forget.